listening to the Cornerstone Tulsa podcast. Our mission is to cultivate a community shaped by the gospel for the renewal of all things. If you'd like to learn more about our church, you can visit our website at cornerstonetulsa.org or find us on social media. And with that, let's hop into this week's teaching.
Today's reading comes from 1 Peter. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but you've returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. The word of the Lord. Y'all can be seated.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming out to a Good Friday service. Like you said, my name is Augustine Mendoza. It's an honor to be up here with you guys today, to be a part of the Cornerstone family. My wife, Allie, and I started coming here last year, and it has totally changed our life. It has marked us. It's been so renewing and refreshing the community, the times to gather and worship. And so I'm just so thankful to be one of you, part of the Cornerstone family. My job is getting to work with young adults on a daily basis, and my favorite part of working with young adults is definitely the discipleship process that I get to walk with them in, usually over a cup of coffee and having a good time talking about what God is doing in their life. And so tonight, I'm just humbled to be here and not only to represent the next generation, but also to tell you, man, God is doing something in the next generation. It's exciting. And I'm excited to see what God does in the future. But tonight, you know, Pastor John asked me to speak on Good Friday service, which is tough for me. It means a lot to me, Good Friday service. It's sober. It's meaningful. It's intentional. And so tonight, my goal for you is that you would leave here having a reflection, a personal reflection on what the beauty of the cross means to you. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the beauty of the cross. And I don't know about you, but I kind of grew up going to some Good Friday services when I was a teenager. I remember my first ever Good Friday service. I grew up in Colorado, and at the church I was attending, oh, shout out to Colorado, it's great. And, you know, I went to this church where we started doing Good Friday services when I was a teenager. And so I remember my first Good Friday service because I remember having to go into church two times in the same weekend, and as a teenager, like, that was a tough task, you know, like, this was a lot the Lord was asking for me as a teenager, but I remember going, and I remember my life being forever marked because we left the Good Friday service, just like we're going to leave tonight, in silence, and I think it was the first time I'd ever done something like that as a teenager. I remember walking out, and the Lord just prompting my heart of, do you see the cross as beautiful? Do you see the cross as valuable? And I think, you know, as Christians, we say, yes, of course we do, Jesus. But to really make it personal, that this wouldn't just be another Easter weekend, but this would be an Easter weekend where you would allow space for the Lord to mark you with maybe a reflection on the cross that you've never had before. Something in your heart, something in your mind that shifts, that changes, that says, wow, I've never thought about that aspect of the beauty of the cross. And so if it helps you tonight, as I'm sharing just for a few minutes, you don't have to look at me sharing, you can look at the cross. You could close your eyes and imagine the crucifixion scene. Try to put yourself there. Try to put yourself right before the cross so that you can see the cross. My goal is not that you see me or hear some super profound thing that I say, but that you would see the cross and you would see it rightly. And I think this passage from 1 Peter is so illuminating and gives us a really good picture, kind of for us that are on this side of the cross, this side of the resurrection, to be able to see something beautiful that maybe the church then couldn't see. And so today, as we remember what Christ has done for us on that cross, I think it prompts us in our hearts to ask, do we value this sacrifice? Do we truly value the sacrifice of Jesus? And as I was praying for this message, the phrase that just kept coming to me is, the beauty of the cross should captivate our hearts and transform our lives. That the cross isn't some historical fact that we log away in our mind, but it's something that transforms us from the inside out. That when we have a revelation of the cross, that our life has to look different. It has to sound different. It has to be different. And so that's my prayer for you tonight, that you would leave this place with a reflection of the beauty of the cross. But if we're honest, and I can be honest and vulnerable as well, that sometimes it's hard for me to see the beauty of the cross, especially for me who maybe grew up in a Christian family and grew up going to church and have been to countless Easter services. And sometimes it's hard because it becomes kind of familiar to us. And so today I want to offer you some really practical ways that you can see the beauty of the cross right here, right now in this place. And as you leave tonight, tomorrow, as we approach Resurrection Sunday, that you would also be willing to be here in the stillness of Good Friday. And so the question I'm going to ask, and I'd love for you to ponder in your heart just over the next few moments, is what makes the cross beautiful to you? Why is the cross beautiful to you? If I was to come around and ask you, like, why do you see the cross as beautiful? And so we're going to ponder that as we kind of go through a few different ways that I see that Peter kind of highlights the beauty of the cross. The first way I think we can really see the highlighted beauty of the cross in this passage and on Good Friday is by gazing at the person of Jesus. When we see the person of Jesus, when we hear his voice, when maybe we see his smile, or maybe when we picture him on the cross, there's something in our hearts that moves from beyond a symbol to this represents a person. And what this person has done for me, personally, for me. And I would invite you to gaze at the cross, to not just look at it and move forward, not to see it and say, I know what that is, and I'm going to go on with my life, but to gaze at it. And to gaze means to look intently or steadily at the cross, that we wouldn't rush through Good Friday and think about tomorrow and think about Sunday, but we would take time to gaze, to look intently. A great picture that I have, an example that I like to use is on the wedding day, right? I remember being a groom, standing at the altar waiting for my bride, and when I saw her appear at the end of that aisle, I was focused on her. Nothing else mattered. I wanted to see her. And you know, I've officiated quite a few weddings. I've been at quite a few weddings. You know, I've never seen a groom see his bride for the first time and just kind of go, she's all right, you know? Never. I've never seen him whip out his phone and shoot a text to a buddy. You know, I've never seen him just start talking to someone in the audience. He was fixed always, 100% of the time, on her. Sometimes through tears, sometimes through laughter, sometimes wondering, how did I get that woman? And no matter what he was feeling in that moment, he was fixed on her. And I think the invitation for all of us on a Good Friday is to fix our gaze on the person of Jesus. Don't let it slip by. Don't try to move too quickly. Gaze at the person of Jesus. I think another way that we can feel, we can see, we can appreciate the beauty of the cross is to feel the pain of Jesus. You know, we just sang about it so beautifully that I'm so thankful that we have a Savior, someone who died for us, that can empathize with our pain. And again, if you've grown up in maybe Christian circles in the church for a while, you maybe have heard that a lot. But do you feel that? Do you believe that? You know, and Peter says, by his wounds we are healed. Do we believe that? Do we see his wounds as our healing? And I'll be honest with you, I walk into this room with some pain going on in my life. And I'm sure for many of you, there's a lot of pain, trials, maybe some suffering that you're experiencing in your life. And I think what's beautiful about the cross is we get to come in here and we don't have to have it all together. We don't have to fix all of the painful and hard situations in order to come to the cross. In fact, we can best engage with our Savior in our pain. You know, the book of Psalms talks about how the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and near to those crushed in spirit. And I believe tonight is an invitation for all of you, any of you that are feeling some type of pain in your life, to come and draw near to the one who suffered for you. Why? Because he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like because his body was battered and bruised, covered in blood, He was hurting, agonizing every step that he carried the cross and hanging on the cross, suffocating. He knows what it's like to feel pain, real pain. But he also knows what it's like to struggle emotionally. Man, he's on that cross and they're jeering him and they're mocking him. They're making fun of him. And yet just days before, there were thousands crying Hosanna and waving palm branches and welcoming him as the king. And yet now they mock him and they spit on him and they reject him. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be abandoned. He knows what it's like to have a bunch of friends one day and then have no idea where they are when you actually need them. He knows. Maybe some of you walk in with some emotional wounds you're processing. Maybe something a parent said to you a long time ago. Maybe something a coworker or maybe your boss keeps saying over you every single week. Maybe there's something going on in your marriage or with your kids, and that emotional pain is real. But friends, what I can tell you is that the pain that he went through is very real, and he wants to meet with you in the pain. Don't despise him. Don't reject him. Don't stiff-arm him. Embrace him on this Good Friday because we have a Savior that can empathize with us. How can we see the beauty of the cross? I think another way we can see the beauty of the cross is we can appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus. We can truly appreciate it. We can honor it. We can value it. What I think is fascinating about this passage of Scripture is Peter's writing this many years after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He's been following Jesus for a little bit of time now. He's preached some sermons. He's taught some messages. He's prayed for people. He's seen the sick healed. He's been set free from prison. He's been living this Christian life for a while. But as he speaks about the crucifixion, as he speaks about the meaning of what's happening at the cross, you feel the reverence in his tone. You feel the honor that he displays in front of it. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus because the symbol of the cross, we're just so saturated with it. We see it everywhere. I don't know about you, but on t-shirts and hats, necklaces, tattoos, on social media, and everything you buy at Hobby Lobby, it seems, there is a cross on everything. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's great. But I think sometimes the things we become familiar with, we treat as casual. We treat as cute. And I think tonight, maybe for some of us that have been following Jesus for a long time, maybe what the Lord wants to do tonight is give you a newfound appreciation, a newfound honor and reverence for the cross. That when you look at the cross, it's not a cool logo or the Christian symbol, but it actually means something to you. A practical example I'll give you for me, as this is something that I've struggled with, is looking at it. I'm surrounded in a Christian culture at ORU. Lots of people love Jesus, and that's great, but I'm surrounded by the cross all the time. And I liken it to growing up in Colorado. And as I grew up in Colorado, there was a mountain range in my backyard. I saw the Rockies stretch out before me. I saw a snow-capped Pikes Peak every single day going to school or going to work or hanging out with my friends or going to play basketball. Every single day, I'd see it. But you know, I got used to it because I live there. People like come and visit me, like, bro, the mountains, it's incredible. They're in your backyard. It's amazing. I'm like, yeah, the mountains. Yeah, they're cool. They're cool. And I truly didn't appreciate the mountains until I moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I came here and I heard mighty wondrous tales of a Turkey Mountain. And I said, man, Turkey Mountain's only about 10 minutes from my house. I should go to this Turkey Mountain. And I was sadly disappointed that it wasn't anywhere near the Rockies at all. It's more of Turkey Hill is what I like to refer to it. But it's great for running. I highly encourage it. But I think, like me with the mountains growing up, sometimes we need that newfound appreciation. I'm going to Colorado next weekend to see my family who still lives there. And I can't wait to see the mountains. I can't wait to see them and just sit there and drink a cup of coffee and admire the beauty of the mountains. And I think for some of us, again, we can be so busy, we can be so distracted or so caught up in the Christian culture that we forget the beauty of the cross that's before us every single day. And I think a practical way you can really maybe think about having reverence for the cross is something that Pastor John taught on a few months ago of making the sign of the cross and making it meaningful. And so I know in my personal prayer time when I'm reading the word or sometimes just off on the side while we're worshiping or taking communion, I love to make the sign of the cross. And when I do it, it brings me back into remembrance of what Christ did on the cross, that it's not just a Christian symbol, but it has reverent meaning. I wonder if some of us could be drawn into this appreciation of the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think kind of the last thing that I'd love to encourage you with tonight of how we find beauty at the cross is when we sit in remembrance of Jesus. When we sit in remembrance of Jesus. And that word sit is really hard for me, so I'm gonna be vulnerable. I don't like to sit around. I like to do, I like to go, I like to be active. So the idea of sitting is not great. I will run with Jesus, I will go with Jesus, I will do with Jesus, but sitting, it's a little bit harder. But I think on a Good Friday, there's an invitation to stillness. There's an invitation to sitting. And I'm not talking about some hypothetical sitting. I mean, even now, tonight, before we leave, you're going to have an opportunity to sit with Jesus, to focus your mind and focus your heart on being at the cross. You at the cross, sitting there and truly seeing the beauty of what is beholding in front of you. Like, there's something special when we sit and we look. I think about like a piece of artwork. And we can't truly appreciate art by walking through the art gallery as fast as we can and say, who got to go through the museum the fastest? But there's something beautiful about taking time to look at a piece of art and to behold it, to sit there and to look at it, to gaze and think about the intent behind it and the colors. And I think there's that same invitation for us tonight to sit, to still, and to contemplate the beauty of what is happening. I think one of the reasons that there's the invitation of Good Friday is because I think there's something that Christians have that's very unique in the world when it comes to hardship. And there's an invitation from Christ in hardship to sit with him in it and to remember him. We think about it in communion, where Jesus says through the breaking of bread, we remember his broken body. And the pouring out of this wine is like the pouring out of his blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to take a step back from the scripture and I like to try to put myself in it, knowing everything I know now. And sometimes I wonder, Jesus, why didn't you take the bread and the wine and why didn't you give it to the disciples after you resurrected? Why didn't you give it to them after you'd raised from the dead? I think it'd be a lot more fun. I think there'd be a celebration. I think when we would gather and we'd say, let's do communion, we're remembering the resurrection. I think there would be this special party and celebration. Imagine if Christians celebrated 3 days of Easter weekend just having the greatest holiday of all time. We just had a great time. We feasted. Chick-fil-A would be open that Sunday. I guarantee you, if we did that, Chick-fil-A would be open one Sunday a year. It'd be Easter. They make a lot of money. We'd eat a lot of chicken. Everybody wins. But I remember thinking that, and I just remember, like, Jesus, why do we have to sit in your suffering? Why do we have to remember what you went through? Why can't we just remember that you're in the grave or out of the grave? You're risen, you're alive. And I think the thing that the Lord brought me back to is it's human nature to skip to the good part. In our basic human nature, we want to skip to the good part. We want to know how the story ends. We want to get to the good part. Can we skip through this part? I don't want to sit in that. I want to go forward. And I think in a lot of our lives, even everyday lives right now, here on a week-to-week basis, we want to get to the good part, whether that's the weekend for you or getting off of work. We want to get through that. We want to get to the good part. And I think the special invitations that Christians have is Christ doesn't invite us to skip the hard stuff, but to sit with him in it. That as we take communion, we're remembering what he has done for us. And so my question to you tonight is, are you willing to sit with Jesus in his suffering? Are you willing to sit, to maybe feel a little uncomfortable, to maybe feel a little squeamish, to feel like, ah, I want to go, I want to do, but to sit? I would invite you this weekend, maybe for some of you the first weekend you've ever done this, but don't skip to Sunday. This Easter, don't skip to Sunday. Don't let your mind necessarily go right to the resurrection. Allow your mind to sit and to contemplate. Allow your heart to feel what your Savior felt. Allow yourself to be with Jesus by sitting at the cross. As we close, I would invite all of you just to close your eyes. And I just want you to have a moment where you can just ask the Holy Spirit for you and the Holy Spirit, hey, like, Holy Spirit, first of all, do I see the cross as beautiful? Just having an honest conversation of, do I see the cross as actually beautiful? Or is it more of just a logo or a historical fact? Do I see it as beautiful? And then when you get with that question, you kind of know where you're at. I want to ask you, what makes the cross beautiful to you? What makes the cross beautiful to you? Why do you say it's beautiful? And maybe your verbiage sounds a little bit different than mine. That's okay. I want us to walk out of here and be captivated by the beauty of the cross. I want our lives to be transformed by the beauty of the cross. So my invitation is, don't skip to Sunday, but allow the beauty of the cross, the sitting with it, the honoring it, the remembering, the gazing intently and steadily transform you. I'm going to close by reading that last verse in 1 Peter 2:25. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to sit, and we're going to be with Jesus for a few minutes. 1 Peter 2:25, Peter writes, "You were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls." Jesus, tonight, we make space and we honor you. God, we put aside busyness, schedule, time, life. We lay them down at the foot of the cross and we say, Jesus, we want to see you. We want to behold the beauty of the cross. We want to have a revelation like Peter did here, where as he reflects on the cross, there's something reverent. There's something honoring. There's something personal. There's something beautiful. Lord, I pray for my friends here, and I pray for myself, Lord. Would you make our hearts soft? If there's any hardship or walls that we've put up, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would soften the soil of our heart. And Jesus, I ask that your living water would just be poured onto our soil tonight. Some of us are hurting. Lord, I ask that you would be with us in that hurt, be close to the brokenhearted, near to those crushed in spirit. Some of us realize we may be a little apathetic towards the cross. I ask that you'd ignite a passion in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on that cross for us. We didn't earn it, and we didn't deserve it, but you gave yourself for us. And so tonight we sit, we contemplate. In the middle of the uncomfortable and the stressful and the hardship and the pain, we sit. Help us see your beauty tonight, Jesus. Amen.
We're so grateful you listened to this week's sermon at Cornerstone. If you live in the Tulsa area, we'd love to invite you to be a part of our worship and community in person. You can find service times and more information at our website. But wherever you are, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace.